Lord, we just pray you'd bless our time together, Lord, in your word, Lord, that it would come and minister life to us. Lord, you tell us that everything in your word points to you. So do that in Jesus' name, amen. Read this in this Passion Translation here. Let's see. This is Luke chapter 10, the very end of chapter 10. We are, I talked about that earlier, about yesterday or last week, about Martha and Mary. And I want to read it from the Passion Translation. Really like it. This is Jesus when he's at the home of Martha and Mary. He said, but Martha became frustrated by finishing the numerous household chores in preparation for her guests. So she interrupted Jesus and said, Lord, don't you think it's unfair that my sister left me to do all this work by myself? You should tell her to get up and help me. So just painting the picture here, Jesus comes in, Mary is like seated at his feet, talking to him, listening to him, and Martha's getting all the house ready. Because, you know, if you think when people come over, you know, you like to have your house in order. Most women, like, aren't you like that? I don't care, you know, but... I'll go, you know, bless people's house all the time, and they say, oh, don't look in this room, or don't, and I don't even notice that. I mean, I thought, what are you talking about? I'm just there to bless it and get the critters out. So Jesus is there, and then Martha, just, she gets mad, you know. And then the Lord answered her. I love how he says this. Martha, my beloved Martha, why are you upset and troubled? You're pulled away by all these many distractions. Are they really that important? Mary has discovered the one thing that is most important by choosing to sit at my feet. She is undistracted, and I won't take this privilege from her. So just kind of to set the stage for what I want to talk about, because in all the fruits of the Spirit, let me ask you something, all the nine fruits of the Spirit, have you ever heard a sermon or anybody preach from the very last fruit of the Spirit called self-control? I hadn't, right? 37 years of walking with the Lord, I've never heard one sermon on the fruit of the Holy Spirit or fruit of the life of Christ that is self-control, right? Now, this thing about Martha and Mary here, because I remember the Lord spoke a word to me back in May on Mother's Day when all that stuff was kind of happening right in that time is to... beware of distractions, right? So when the Lord's moving, doing stuff, we get the enemy's ploy against us or plan or schemes is to distract us. Just right here. She was more, Martha was more concerned about what he may think of her than she was sitting and listening to the importance of conversing with him or the time spent with him, which would never be taken away. Great picture here of our lives, because in the same way, the enemy of our soul works through distractions, right? To keep, and that's just simply to just keep you away. And this, the word self-control here, taken from two Greek words, in the sphere of, the first one in the realm of, or in the sphere of, and then sphere or the realm of, and then dominion, you know, dominion within, right? So that word to be diligent or self-control there, same word as diligent, is reigning within, okay? This is some, I'm just going to read you a few verses out of Psalm and Proverbs about the importance of the thing called diligence or this fruit of the Spirit, self-control, right? Because if we lack self-control or we lack whatever word you want to put in our in seeking God, then a good news is not only has the Lord come to dwell in us and made us his sanctuary, right, or the place that he rests or the place of his feet where his glory dwells, but he's also put in us by the Holy Spirit the self-discipline to do that. So it's not something that we just have to work out on our own. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It's the abiding in Christ thing because, you know, it says in Galatians, Galatians chapter 4 and Romans chapter 8, that's kind of the same verse Paul uses with each one of them when he says that when the Spirit entered us, that it has this thing within us, the Spirit of God or Spirit of Christ saying, Abba, Father, right? Crying out to know Him, right, is inside of you. That's not something that you have to go to a conference or go somewhere to get. You've got it, right? So that fruit is there, that expression of the life is Christ there for you and for me to transform our lives from a Martha to Mary, to the heart of Mary, where there's nothing in your life that's more important than Him or time with Him, right? Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. Everything else will be added to you, right? But this is a few, this is in Psalm 78. It says, when He killed them, then they sought Him. Kind of a funny thing, right? He killed them. When He killed them, then they sought Him. Doesn't mean that He physically killed them. But when He killed them, killed something within them, then they sought Him. And they returned and they searched diligently for God. Let's see, where's the next one? This is Proverbs 8, 17. I love those who love me, and those who diligently seek me will find me. All right. Proverbs 10, 4. Like 10, 4. Poor is he who works with a negligent hand, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. This is Proverbs 12, 24. The hand of the diligent will rule, but the slack hand will be put to forced labor. 13, 4. This is a really good one here. The soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, but the soul of the diligent is made fat. This is Isaiah 26. At night, my soul longs for you. Indeed, my spirit within me seeks you diligently. When the earth experiences, then the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Again, here. So all of these are just kind of encouraging us, because, you know, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9 that he equates the Christian life as running a race, that you're in a race. Like, think about it, Block Park or whatever, when you watch the Olympics, when they're running around the track. He kind of gives these people a mental picture of that when you get out there to run the race, don't run the race just across the finish line. He said, run the race to win it, right? Run it to win by, I don't know if y'all watched that movie, Secretariat, about the horse, but when it ran, I don't even know if it's been surpassed now of the greatest time ever, and he beat, I forgot how many horse lengths he was ahead of all the pack. Right. When I think of running the race, I always think about that, to have that kind of heart of running it to win, but not just by a nose or whatever, but by, you know, a whole bunch. Right. And then and when Paul's writing to Timothy, he tells him this thing. And it's kind of like when you have to talk about this stuff, you have to kind of tiptoe around it because you don't want people to get discouraged or make you think that you're thinking that they're bums or anything. But when he's talking to him about, I think it's right, let me see if I can find it. I think it's in 2 Timothy, where he tells him to discipline himself for the purpose of righteousness. It's in there. It's in 2 Timothy chapter 2, right in there. You can go back and look at it. To Timothy to discipline himself for the purpose of righteousness, right? To stir within him that awesome gift or awesome fruit of the Holy Spirit that's there, to stir in him so that he can win. He can win the race, right? So if you haven't noticed that yet, seeking the Lord can be a real, a hard thing to do, right? Because you first wake up, you know, we wake up in the morning, they're just all those things, you know, pulling or distracting you. And it doesn't mean you have to do it in the morning. This one I read that the Isaiah passage said, in the night, right? My soul longs for you. But just a real practical thing for us, I've been just thinking about that a lot lately, about this scripture about Mary seated there at Jesus' feet. And again, I know that you know, our time with the Lord is just so precious, but I just can't get past just this stirring thing within me. And he spoke months ago that for me, this is a personal word for me, but for me to pass on too, is that, and he told me this in just in this language, make your garden or your personal time with me your priority, right? And even though I do that, you know, on pretty much on a daily basis, weekends are a little different, I kind of made that almost like I put that kind of first on my list, right? That my whole life was going to be, it would start there, kind of like the hub, and everything else from my life would radiate from that, right? And for that particular time I have with the Lord, just to cut away any and every distraction that could be there that would pull me away, right? And the cool thing about that is when when you start doing that, then you find yourself looking forward to, like you can't wait to get back there. Even though we carry his presence with us all the time, you understand that. I can fellowship with the Lord anytime, riding down the road, you're sitting there in the pew, you know, you've got him, you can carry on conversations with him. But an undistracted time with him where you're seated there, not only to talk, but to listen, is absolutely imperative for our lives. Because, you know, everything's like an invitation. When the Lord said, hey, this is what I'm doing here with you guys, there's this place called where you're going to break through to this place called encounter, right? Well, if I'm going to encounter you, or if I want to encounter Father Bob, then I got to hang out with him, right, to get to know him. I know you know that, but I'm saying all this to say a very word of encouragement to you is that, you know, whatever Paul told Timothy to, you know, to stir that thing up in him, or whatever it looks like for you, is just allow the Lord to begin to just stir that in you, right? That thing he put in you. Because you've got, there's something within your heart that really is crying out, Abba Father, right? Constantly just crying out. And kind of wooing us, hadn't used that word in a long time, kind of wooing us to do what Mary did, to come sit with him, come sit at his feet and listen. And him telling her, you know, Mary, this is never going to be taken away from you. And, you know, by us seeing that, that's not the first time that Mary found herself there. Her whole life was spent there because she's the one that he cast out seven demons in, right? So her life, and what we know about church history is that she never married. She never got married. She stayed single her whole life, and her whole life was devoted to sitting at his feet, right? What a great thing. You can go. I think you can go over there to Jerusalem and whatever in that area, and supposedly they have her place or her house kind of marked off where she stayed. But this is when I was talking the other day about it makes more sense in Hebrews, and TC and I have been using that verse a lot lately, talking about that, about where the Lord says to be diligent to enter his rest, right? Sound like a contradictory of terms to us, you know, wear yourself out to get rest, and that's not what it's saying, but to be diligent to enter his rest, right? Just plain English, doing everything within your power to enter in to everything, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places that's yours in Christ, so that it can be now where you possess, right? It's just not something, the land, we talked about that, where we enter in over and over again, where the Lord said to enter in and possess your possession, right? That there's battle, we know that, there's going to be war, but that's our goal. So be encouraged. My prayer for you, and I hope your prayer for me, is that in this time or in this season, that seeking him will be your number one priority. That would rule and govern everything in your life. As you're running this race or whatever, you know, Paul uses different things there where he says, you know, I make my body my slave, where I'm not enslaved to its desires and appetites, right? Where you're saying, you know, whatever, I don't care how sleepy I am, I don't care how, you know, whatever hungry I am, I'm not going to give in to it. I mean, what I'm going to do, Lord, is that thing you've put within me, I'm just going to say yes to it. And I guarantee you that you won't be able to get enough. You'll keep wanting to go back and go back and go back. So when I, you know, in the mornings when I wake up, what's the first thing on my mind is, Lord, I can't wait to get to that place today. I can't wait to get to my time with you. Whatever you call it, footstool time or my time with you or my quiet time, which Bishop says he's not very quiet. I can hear him over there in his office. He's not quiet. And he's loud, but he puts those earplugs in. But I don't have words today. My brain and my word thing isn't linked up today. But it would be such a burning passion inside of you that nothing in life or everything else in life will take a back seat to that. And that's just not, don't feel bad if you hadn't, you know, it's always like that. The Lord's just always, you know, calling us more. But somebody, I don't know if this statistic is right, but they say that the average pastor spends about 5 minutes a day in prayer. You know, I don't see how someone can do that. And I wouldn't make it, you know, it would eat me alive. But make that in this time, this Advent season coming up, and then we hit Christmas and all that fun stuff. This is like the Lord is, I just keep seeing this ropes on everybody, like going inside of them, and the Lord is just kind of tugging that rope, right, to get you so he can just bless you and speak things into your life that you really need to hear. If they outnumber the grains of sand on all the earth, that's a lot of stuff, isn't it? All right, well, let's stand. Well, Lord, I just pray for all of us, and I pray for Christ the King and people who are here who go elsewhere, Lord, that this time in our life, Lord, seeking you, sitting with you, Lord, learning how to hear, Lord, would be our absolute number one priority. Because you tell us if we seek you, we'll find you. So, Lord, I pray that we would all run the race, Lord, that's set before us to win. Thank you, Lord. Amen.